or some muscular stabilization around that shoulder. You have to work on reaction timing and training of those muscles so that when you get into those outer ranges, you're better able to protect yourself. And that doesn't happen overnight.
Welcome to the Darren Smith Show.
This is the big one, boys. This is the one that brings us back.
Soon, AM radio will reign king once more.
Ooh, yeah. Now, here's Darren.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
On Extra 1360.
Hour number three. It's Extra 1360. This show, this station, all iHeartRadio stations available via the iHeartRadio app. Download it for free today. Take us with you. Listen wherever and whenever and however you would like to listen to the radio program. If you find yourself doing a little bit of traveling, it doesn't matter. You can take us with you. You can stream us through your headphones. You can stream us through your portable speaker. You can do what I often do, stream it right there through your Bluetooth, connecting through the dash in your automobile. So all sorts of ways for you to include Extra 1360 as part of your day, no matter where you find yourself or whenever it is that you would like to listen to this show. We are 2 hours in. We have 1 hour to go. We'll take you up into the Loose Cannons. Loose Cannons will be here at 3 p.m. today. The Loose Cannons, who have already represented on the show via a John Schaefer text message. I must admit, I actually think we had a breakthrough. I'm not going to carry on with this. I'm ready to move on. We're going to hear from Blake Snell. But using my iPhone and using the calculator on the iPhone, I was able to divide 4 by 7 and multiply that by 162 and draw the same conclusion that everybody else did. So that's called progress. Marty thought it through the entire text segment. I took a couple of seconds here with help from my iPhone, and I was able to figure out what so many of you think is just easy. And for some of us, this is just a mental block. So thank you. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for putting up with yet another episode of Darren and Marty Do Math.
I don't know if there's any like 10-year-olds listening to this show, but if they do, they must think we're just so stupid.
Are they teaching that stuff in school any longer? Obviously, none of us
are
parents.
No, I think
are
they are.
Or do they teach arithmetic, or what's the point?
No,
because now all you have to do is ask Siri or ask Alexa, and they do all that sort of stuff
you
for
you. Don't you remember that in school? You had to show your work. You can't just come up with the answer because, oh, I did it in my mind. You actually have to go ahead and write out your work and write out the formula and the fractions and the X over this.
You think people are still writing?
Yeah, I think so, because I remember, like, I have a let's see. My 7-year-old niece? Is she 7 or is she 8? She's 9.
Let's not get lost on details.
Oh, yeah. Eight. I think she's 8 years old, and she showed me like her homework. It's like, dude, I can't do this math. I can't help you. You have to show your work.
Yeah, so penmanship and learning how to write and print and script and all that, that's still being taught today in schools.
Yeah, you have to know how to write.
I honestly didn't know.
I mean,
some point people would start losing those disciplines.
Yeah, right.
Because
right.
Everything now is on a phone.
Do they still do typing class? I had that as an elective on an actual typewriter. Probably not. Yeah. Took a typing class. Typing on a typewriter.
Yeah. Well, I remember
that's
taking
how you
typing.
Learned, right? I took
a typing class, but on a computer.
Well,
they taught you how to type fast.
Yeah.
Right. Never had to submit a paper that you had to type.
On a typewriter? No.
On a typewriter.
Have you ever used Whiteout?
Yes, I have.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I can.
Interesting.
I mean, countless papers, countless hours wasted typing. All that sort of.
I love that noise. That's great.
That was the worst.
Yeah, I know.
It was the worst.
By the typing ribbons.
Oh, the ribbons. Oh, man. Yeah. And plus me, always crammering, always last night. Always hours before it was due, I'd be out there doing that sort of stuff. It was a disaster. All right, on the show so far, what you've missed, Stefania Bell joined us. I know people are hoping for optimism here, and people are looking for some good news with regards to Fernando Tatis Jr. I'm not going to tell you that Stefania Bell delivered bad news today, but that's the voice that you heard here to start hour number three. So if you missed that, I would highly recommend that you go and you find it at Marty Caswell on Twitter or at Extra1360. Or you can go to sportssd.com or the iHeartRadio app. We make it available everywhere so that you can find it no matter how limited it is that you might want to search. But she came in. I thought that she told us, I just want to know what the deal is. I want to be hopeful, but I also want to be realistic about Fernando Tatis Jr. And Stefania Bell certainly, I thought, was very realistic with us. She was very honest with us. She said it doesn't mean that he's definitely going to miss significant time here during the season. But based on the frequency now over the last couple of weeks, she thought it didn't really make a ton of sense that he would be back. Fernando Tatis Jr. would be back at the end of his 10-day injured list stint. She felt like that was going to take a little while longer.
The frequency and the ramping up, the intensity is the concern that she has.
Yes, yes. So Padres end up losing yesterday. It was not the world's prettiest game. Jim and I were sitting, we were watching it here. I don't know if you went down to the park or if you watched it, went home or what have you.
Went home.
We went and watched it in the newsroom since I was here and prepping for Kogo, and we had an interview that we had at the table. City Council Member Chris Cate, who declared victory in Measure C yesterday, said, "Hey, okay, I think Measure C, we're good. Let's expand the convention center. That should be an interesting one."
I just did
with
a
the Citizens Initiative.
Measure C.
Yeah,
okay.
Measure C. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, good times, man. Yeah. Good times. But Padres lose. They lose the third game. They lose the series. They lose their first series of the year. They now will go. They will play on the road. They will start against the Texas Rangers coming up tomorrow. They end up losing 3-2 yesterday. There was some shoddy defense, I thought. You know, there were some guys. I don't know how much we're all expecting from Mateo out there in center field. Should a Major League Baseball player catch that? Yeah, I think that that's fair. But, you know, is that who you're planning on carrying you across the finish line of success here
probably
in 2021?
Not.
I don't think so. I feel like Trent Grisham makes that catch. I have a lot of faith in Trent Grisham to make that catch, even though it wasn't a routine fly ball, but it's a play that you would expect a big leaguer will make. Didn't make it, ended up rolling, tantalizing on the top of the fence, and it rolled over for a home run, a two-run home run. Blake Snell was, I thought, good. I thought he was you could look at innings and you could say, well, this is supposed to be a different Blake Snell. I thought he was supposed to be a bit unbridled here in San Diego. We had 4 2/3. Now we have 5. He threw 87 pitches. He gave up a couple of earned runs on the home run that we just talked about. Will Myers hits a game-tying home run, and then we go into extra innings. By the way, Padres lose this game in extra innings. The extra innings rule is still in play. It's going to be here all season long. Nobody's going to say that you have to like it.
You like it in the 10th inning?
I'm okay with it. These games are long.
No, they are. They've been very long.
You want to go to the 11th? I wouldn't quibble over that.
I wouldn't hate it
in the 12th. But I think just sitting and playing for, and people will remind us that there is no clock in baseball. Well, there's no clock in this form of baseball either. These games literally could carry on forever in extra innings. Now, it accelerates things because you put a runner out there at second base, and people have an aversion to this, and I can appreciate that. I don't have that same type of deep-rooted aversion to this sort of stuff. I feel like you might.
A little bit.
A little?
Not on the 10th inning. I could say 11th or 12th. That
11th or 12th.
Yeah, just second
Jim?
Base.
Yeah, I don't like the rule at all.
If you're going to
you
do it.
You want to play in 17, 18 innings.
I do like, you know, what Marty said there, like 11th or 12th.
Yeah.
Like
Don't do it right in the 10th inning. I mean, and I don't.
Pick it up. Let's keep it going here. Let's keep it moving here. Moving along.
Yeah, I feel better. I put the runner at first base. And then when you get to the
first base, no outs.
First base, no outs. And then when you get to the 15th inning, then you start it at second base.
And then if you get to the 20th inning, then the bases are loaded.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I see the way it's going. That's
here.
Good. I like
now,
that.
what is the strategic advantage to what it is that you're saying?
There's not. It just seems too easy. Like it's gonna.
Padres didn't score.
I know. Well, they did not. But it's just too. Normally, it's just too easy.
I don't know that we were expecting Ha-Seong Kim to be able to lay down bunts.
Nope.
He did do good though, because he hit the ball to the right side, moved the runner to the third.
Yeah, I like when guys are given, you know, if you have bat control, I'd much rather that. The whole structured bunt, and that's pitchers, I get. But, like, why not let a guy who can make contact try to shoot one to the right side? Maybe he finds a hole. I always appreciated that a little bit more. But at any rate, Padres lose 3-2. Blake Snell, who lifted spirits in the postgame. I think this is fair to say. We have plenty of sound from Blake Snell, who has instantly become the most favorite press conference.
Maybe of all time.
For most in San Diego media today. Blake Snell knows how to navigate his way around a press conference. I don't know that we can ask Dennis Lynn this maybe tomorrow. Dennis Lynn is a journalist.
Yes.
He might say, hey, Darren, I don't play favorites. I'm a journalist.
I think Marty, actually Dennis Lynn would say that.
Not a journalist. is willing to say this guy's the best.
Yeah, give me the guy. Either
you've put him up there in rarefied air and said he has potential to be the greatest interview in the history of San Diego sports.
Dude, it wasn't just what the clips that I put there. It's just the way he assesses everything, including his game, his outing, the frustration of watching the Mateo aided home run over the wall. It's just the way he looks at things. Whether he's homesick or not, everything about him is just—it's just different. It's different. I have not quite heard from a player who talks like that.
What did he say about the home run?
I know it annoyed him, but he also said it happened to him before. And then I forgot who asked the question. Maybe of Jeff Sander. He's like, "Do you remember the player?" He goes, "Of course." It happened to him like last year or something. So it was good.
Usually, a ball goes that far.
Yeah.
Most pitchers will say, if a ball travels that far in the air, it's on me.
Yeah.
That's what he said. He said, I got to pitch better.
Okay. I didn't hear it. Here's Blake Snell, though, talking about just his very first week in San Diego, what it's been like. As we said to start the show, it has been quite the takeoff, hasn't it? And now we're buckled in for the long haul here. But what a first week in San Diego. We've had a lot of ups. We've had some downs. We had a 4-3 start to the season, which we've now learned translates to 93 wins. So here's Blake Snell assessing his first week in town.
Yeah, it's a very fun place to play. The fans' energy has been pretty amazing, especially for it being such a limited size. But it's been a lot of love, you know. I felt like coming here has been very open, and it's been a fun place to be. It's been a fun place, you know, to learn my new teammates, who are pretty amazing, honestly. I've formed relationships with them very quickly, as well as the coaching staff, the staff. You guys as well. I wish I could see y'all in person, because then, you know, we could build those relationships too. But all in all, it's been, you know, a lot more comfortable for me than I thought it would be, just looking at it that way. But yeah, it's been pretty amazing for the first, you know, 7 days of being here. It's been a lot of fun. We got to start winning. You know, that's the focal point here. When you start winning ball games, and doing things to put ourselves in positions to win. And I think, you know, this road trip, we'll be able to, you know, be out and hanging out with each other. And hopefully that will, you know, bring some good camaraderie and get us into the win column a lot more than we were this homestand.
Was nobody prepared with the arithmetic for Blake Snell? Is he not aware of the fact that they're on target to win 93 games this year?
I don't think he's aware.
Interesting. That's very kind of Blake Snell to say that to all the media. It's a very nice thing to say. It sounded very sincere.
No, I appreciate that.
It's not the most important thing, but no, I will tell you, there have been other players, and I could tell you, I remember Seth Smith.
Seth Smith is the one that jumps
Seth
out.
Smith is the one who said, I'm going to give you exactly enough that you're never going to want to talk to me again.
Yeah.
And we never did. And we said, we'll honor that, Seth, and we don't have any interest in ever speaking to you again. Mm-hmm. Whereas at least with Blake Snell, he sort of gets it. Like baseball, like this is sort of how baseball and how the dugout was with different players.
Yeah.
When it didn't mean that we were constantly kissing up to them. They understood that we had a job to do, and we see you every single day. And you could be a professional, and you could be critical, and you could be fair in your analysis. And you could say, I don't know that I agree with the manager. I don't know that I agree with this general manager. And it wasn't considered an act of war by the organization. And they didn't blackball you. And they didn't take your credentials away and refuse to put guests on your show. What?
Huh?
Anyhow, that's the kind of relationships that you used to have with players. And they understood that if they didn't pitch well, or if they didn't perform well, or if the team didn't win to the level that you thought, it was okay to say, you got to get that done. And it was not personal. It was professional. And that's a good relationship to have. That's a good balance with the team. So it's nice to see that there's some semblance of that returning to the Padres clubhouse. It's been a while. Blake Snell also went on. Now, I don't understand exactly how I'm supposed to tee this next one up. Let's here. See. It says, I'm not knowing what he is.
Oh, because I think the question I asked him was, like, if he's like the rah-rah guy. Like, when the Padres have just lost, three of their last four games, and Tatis is out, do you kind of energize your teammates?
Are you that guy? Pick the spirits up kind of person,
yes.
Blake Snell?
Yes.
I don't know what I am, honestly. I like to have fun. I like to laugh. I like to joke. And I like to win. So I don't think I'll be, you know, picking people up. But if I feel like I need to help or I can help in certain areas, I feel like I will do my best to do that. But again, I don't really know what I am. I just like to have fun. And winning is fun, so we gotta win.
Winning. Sounds like he's come down a little bit from playing and pitching in a Major League Baseball game. Sounds like his tank's a bit empty. Sounds that way, marching along here.
All right.
So here's the end of the press conference. Mm-hmm. And this you may have seen if you're on our social media, if you're active on social media. Then we get through the Q&A, and Marty asks some questions, and beat reporter probably asked his question, and maybe some TV folk asked their questions as well, right? Like, we're mostly through this, and everybody's getting set to wrap it up.
Everyone's done.
We're ready. These guys got to get on a flight.
Gotta go.
You guys, it's a day game. You got to go hit a happy hour.
Exactly.
People have things to do. We're ready. We've gotten everything we can get out of Blake Snell, and 9 times out of 10... baseball players are going to go, all right, peace out, sucker. See you later. Mm-hmm. I got to go, too. I got to go take a shower. I got to go get ready. It's our first road trip. I just lost. I didn't lose, but you know what I'm saying. We just lost in a game that I started. And echoing and channeling a little bit of the Seth Smith, I'm ready to just not talk to strangers any longer. However, not this guy, not this Blake Snell.
All right, Blake, thank you for joining us.
Time out. AJ, Dennis, y'all got nothing for me? Y'all just going to look this good and say nothing?
Say that again? Sorry.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying AJ and Dennis got nothing for me today.
I got one. I'll follow up.
Come on. Thank
you. What are your early thoughts on just the rotation as a whole and what you guys, the way you guys are kind of
okay. I like that. I think it's a very good, you know what's scary? I keep looking at Clev walking around all the time. Like, God, once he gets back, it's going to be scary. I keep looking at Lamet walking around. I'm like, oh my God, we got some arms here. So I get pretty excited just seeing those two. But, you know, with Darvish, Maury Hone, Paddock, Musgrove, I mean, we got some depth in the starting rotation. So I got to do a better job of going deeper in the ball games. You know, 4 2/3 and 5 innings. It's early, so I'm more light on myself right now. But as, you know, we start playing more games, I got to start getting a lot more, you know, depth in these games. But looking at, you know, the talent that we have and what we're going to be able to do with hopefully everyone, you know, growing and evolving and, you know, turning into the players that they all should be and become. It's a fun, you know, it's fun to watch, you know, this starting rotation do what it's doing and what it's going to be able to do. So, I'm really excited about it.
Blake Snell was not ready. He was not ready to wrap up the press conference. I can't tell you that I can remember almost any time where an athlete or a coach, especially given having just lost a series in a baseball game, mm-hmm. said, no, I want more. Is that all you guys got? And then called out AJ Cassavell and Dennis Lynn by name. I can't say that I can ever remember such a thing.
I don't think
now,
so.
Now, I don't know if you felt like, wow, did we, who asked questions, did we not do a satisfactory job for Blake Snell? Or is he just wired this way? He just wants a little bit more. What was your analysis of
Yes,
that?
Especially after you hear his final comments. Mm-hmm. That was my takeaway. And he wasn't done.
No, he's not.
He's not done.
And then after AJ's like, all right, what do you think of the
Dennis
rotation?
Then this is like, good, I'm off the hook.
Yeah.
I can pack my stuff up.
AJ's ready.
I can leave.
Casanova's ready.
Yeah.
Dennis is like, I didn't really have anything for this guy. Even Casanova's like, I don't really, you know, how's the rotation? Anyway.
Dennis, come on, bring the heat.
You want me to ask a question just for a sake of it? Where I thought you did a pretty good job, Rudy. But no, going off that, what are your impressions of Ryan Weathers so far, fellow lefty?
Well, yeah. So he's been a lot more – Weathers has been a lot more of a guy that's been a lot more in control for a rookie. He knows what he wants to do. He's comfortable with who he is. And that's been fun to watch, you know, from afar, is how comfortable he really is with the role that he has right now, to where I don't know if he's been in the bullpen like that. I don't know. But – if he was a starter or not, like, it would fool me, because he's been, you know, really solid, and he's, you know, held his head really high, and he's doing what he does best, which is pitching. So being able to watch him has been something that's been a lot of fun, and hopefully, you know, I get to learn him a little bit better. He's a quiet guy, but I think that's what makes him so good, is he's always watching and listening and learning, and I'm excited, you know, to see what he's going to be able to do this season.
Okay. It's just it's
and then how he ended it was just
probably
perfect.
More important for us in the business than it is for anybody out there who's listening. But for a guy who has a reputation pitching, he doesn't get out of the fifth. Here's a guy who wants to extend his outing in the press conference.
Oh, so that's what you think he's doing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Don't you? Isn't no, that easy analysis? He's like, hey, everybody thinks I go that I don't go long enough here.
Yeah.
So what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to go longer in the press conference.
Okay, I didn't think of it that way. But before we get to the way he decided to go ahead and end this press conference, did you pick up the dig from Dennis Lynn? Did you notice what he said?
Let me think about it now. I did not.
Oh, yeah.
He said, oh, what do you want me to ask a question just for the sake of asking it? Oh,
yes.
I see. So
unlike
Dennis
these
is saying,
other fools who are clogging up my time.
Correct.
And the reasons why we have these 25-minute Zooms, you really want me to bore everybody by asking a question just for the sake of asking a question. That's exactly what Dennis just did.
Yeah.
He took a shot at everybody else in the media.
Dennis, come on, bring the heat.
Bring the heat, Dennis. You'll hear that tomorrow. Dennis Lynn joins the
every
show.
Every single time, though. That's what, and I expect when you introduce Dennis, I expect you to ask Dennis to bring the heat.
Well, Dennis and I have both this past week now been called out totally unexpectedly and ambushed on a Zoom press conference, one by the general manager and another by the number two starter in the rotation, Blake Snell. So I understand he and I will have something that we can share, something in common here, because it happened with Preller on opening day and it happened yesterday to Dennis. So with that, Blake Snell has now thrown a satisfactory amount of pitches for him here in the Zoom press conference. And with this, he signs off yesterday from Petco Park.
Guys, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your night. AJ, Dennis, thank you for bringing it with the questions at the end there. We had some good questions before that, but y'all came in hot. Let's start this road trip off hot now, okay? We need some dubs. My people.
My people. And with that, he flips the deuces. And Blake Snell's out.
Peace out.
My now, people.
I would ask you, because you were one of the people who asked one of the earlier questions, and clearly Snell says there were some good questions, but they brought it. They were hot.
They brought the heat.
They brought the heat.
Yeah, now I am completely unsatisfied with my questions. They're terrible questions.
I think you guys, nobody should volunteer. You should just let Blake Snell call on random people during the next
Dennis, come on, bring the heat.
I like that.
Have him just like, call out whoever.
Yeah. You know what? Why don't you be in control? Forget the chat feature where it's the same order every single time. Forget that. You call people.
Just now, my people. Who all asked questions here that led him to feeling a bit unsatisfied and wanting more? The guy was ready for more. He wanted more. Called out Casanova. Mm-hmm. Called out D-Link.
Called AJ Baby, too. Yeah.
Baby?
Baby.
That's come on, AJ Baby.
Something like that.
Dennis, come on, bring the heat.
Well, anyway, that'll make things a little bit more interesting than the average Zoom press conference, I can tell you that. And even this is sort of a stretch at this point.
And the dig from Dennis.
The dig from Dennis, right. Oof. You want me to ask a question just for the sake of asking it? Yeah, Dennis, like aren't you on these Zooms? That's pretty much what happens
That's
there.
That's what it is.
People just want to hear themselves talk. Yeah. We'll be back after this.
Coming up today, 3 on the Cannons. It is the opening round of the Masters. We'll cover that. Also, Bill Barnwell on all things NFL, including the latest with Deshaun Watson. We get going at 3 on Extra 1360 and FM 103.3.
Couple of text messages here. 619 number has a request for Marty. Marty, next time you have a press conference with Blake Snell, can you ask him about Michael Paddock?
What should the question be?
Just reading the text. I don't know what you want me to say.
Okay.
619 number says, it sounded like Snell was bored with Marty's questions. He wanted AJ and Dennis.
I think so too, yeah.
I didn't think your questions were any worse than the questions that we heard from AJ or from Dennis.
Okay, thank you.
I think that Snell was grading a little bit on a curve because he requested those questions.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't going to go, this was a mistake.
Okay. Yeah, that would be bad.
619 number earlier from the program says, Marty, with that kind of math, you could have gone to UCSD. 619 number says something that we believe very much here on the show. Darren, Jim Trotter is the most well-spoken, thoughtful, reasoned, and knowledgeable NFL analyst that I have ever heard. And bonus, he's honest about his golf game. Great interview. Thanks. 619 number says banging in the morning. It's called breakfast. All right. So there are many opinions out there about Fernando Tatis Jr. And I'm really, it was great that Marty was able to track down Stefania Bell from ESPN. Not that we were searching for somebody to give us, we just want a straight shooter here. That's all anybody wants is somebody to be honest and somebody to be straight with us. Do you guys know the name David Sampson?
He's like an executive with the Marlins, I want to say.
He was an executive with the Marlins. Or he was, okay. He's a little bit of a shady figure in Major League Baseball, and that he openly admitted that he was part of a process with the previous ownership of the Miami Marlins that essentially took hundreds of millions of dollars away from taxpayers so that they could build a new ballpark.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then afterwards, he revealed what the playbook was and how they were pretty proud of the fact that they went ahead and they did this, and they built taxpayers for hundreds of millions of dollars to build a new baseball stadium down there in Miami. Like, he was never shy about it. And it's pretty common. It pretty much happens in most places. When you get taxpayer money, some go, oh, yeah, it's a public-private partnership, all that sort of stuff. David Sampson, he didn't ever disguise what it was. He came out and was like, yeah, like, this is how you do this sort of stuff. And it was really shady. But for whatever reason, he's still now somebody who is paid for his opinion. He's somebody who hosts a podcast. The podcast is called Nothing Personal with David Sampson.
Wait, he went from being the president of the Marlins to being a podcaster.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. After securing hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayers' money.
Fired by Derek Jeter.
Fired by Jeter, like okay. Day one.
All right.
He has an opinion about A.J. Preller. Now, he also seems to have a hard-on for A.J. Pardon the, you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
So he seems to not be A.J. Preller's biggest fan. Right? Like, there are certain people around baseball who we've established are not A.J. Preller's favorite. They don't love him. Says, quote, we found out nothing because all the Padres did was announce that there was an MRI and Tatis had a slight labrum tear. A.J. Preller wouldn't know a non-surgical injury from a surgical injury if he hadn't watched Grey's Anatomy.
So, wait, Preller watches Grey's Anatomy?
Let's hear the audio. Let's hear how this sounds here. This is David Sampson on his podcast. What?
I get nightmares. I get flashbacks to the deal we did with the Padres, where they totally screwed us by having two sets of medical reports, totally illegal under the leadership of AJ Preller, who somehow has a job. I assume there's pictures involved. Well, we found out nothing because all the Padres did was announce there was an MRI and that Tatis has a slight labrum tear. And then AJ Preller said it's a non-surgical injury, to which I said to Coca upon receiving that news, A.J. Preller wouldn't know a non-surgical injury from a surgical injury if he hadn't watched Grey's Anatomy.
I don't get it. I don't get the joke at all. Now, here's somebody who was on the opposite side, apparently, now that my recollection is coming back into focus, of the deal where, who was it? Colin Ray? Does that sound right? Colin Ray was supposed to go from the Padres to the Marlins, and then the trade ended up, things happened, and Paddock involved, and Castillo, or... it was a long time ago. Still an axe to grind. Still angry little man, axe to grind out there podcasting about AJ Preller. Still to this day, angry about that. So that's David Sampson, who for some reason is still talking and is still opining about other things. So anyway, there you go. If you're inclined to want to say that or listen to that, it's available for you. But does not believe that Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to return anytime soon. That's the long and short of it. The David Sampson, I believe he is a paid insider somewhere, isn't he? Do I have that right? I don't know.
CBS Sports, maybe? I don't know.
Does that sound right? CBS Sports? Sure. Yeah.
Boy, he's that anger in his voice. That's
still angry
crazy.
About that.
Bitter, wow. Man.
Still angry about
dude,
that.
Dude, definitely.
Colin Ray, get over it.
Total axe to grind. Colin Ray.
Yeah, we found the one guy who's still bitter about that.
Jeez.
From a couple of years ago, even after AJ Preller served a suspension.
I'm sorry. Listen, if you get called out on the next Preller Zoom, the only question you're going to ask Preller, Darren, is, so tell us about Grey's Anatomy.
AJ,
and what
is
you've
it
learned
true?
About labrum tears from Grace, what is he talking about?
He went on to say that AJ Preller is claiming that this will be resolved in 10 days or somewhere thereabouts, because what's happening is the Padres are now desperate to find a shortstop somewhere out there on the market that they can trade for. That's his analysis from a former insider, former team president with the Miami Marlins. He claims that they don't want to say he's out for the year because we're trying to trade for somebody who will replace this player. Who are the Padres going to trade for? What shortstop are they going to trade for? They still are in a DH league. They still have Ha-Seong Kim, who they have to give the opportunity to. Mm-hmm. They have to give Ha-Seong Kim time. He was on the opening day roster, so they owe it to him to see if he's the guy. And that's not going to change over the next 10 days, so I don't know that I agree with that analysis either. But still a bit angry and a bit bitter about things that went down several years ago. I wasn't expecting that. It read a lot differently than it sounded. I hadn't heard it. I just read it.
You just read it, and when you read it, the sting of the words don't jump out. The only way to go ahead and for it to translate is if they did this in bold, all caps, bold font, all caps.
Yeah, there you go.
And be like, oh, he must be pissed. Okay.
All right, best bet of the day. Let's get to it.
Best bets brought to you by Valley View Casino and Hotel, San Diego's favorite.
All right, Jim.
My best bet of the day is I've already accepted Mac Jones will be a 49er, but he will be worse than Mitch Trubisky. That's my best bet.
Wasn't that your best bet yesterday?
No, my best bet was that I've already come to acceptance that Mac Jones will be a 49er.
It didn't involve Trubisky.
Now I'm going to just rip him every day until that actually happens.
If Mac Jones stinks, who's going to get the blame, though? Because
Shanahan.
They're all fired.
Shanahan, he's got control over this. That's in his contract.
We just heard Jim Trotter say John Lynch has very little to do with this.
They will all be fired if this is a bust.
Seems kind of unfair when it's on one person's shoulders, don't you think?
You're the GM, bro.
In title. Marty?
Darren, I've tried to do the math on what the pitching matchup is going to be for next weekend when the Padres play the Dodgers. And if I have this correct, it'll be Clayton Kershaw, Yu Darvish on Saturday, and it'll be Trevor Bauer and Blake Snell on Sunday. Ooh. Based on this, my best bet is that the Reach Around show on Saturday, Sunday will be a special edition, 2 hours each show. Looking forward to it, Jafer.
Thanks, Marty.
Yeah,
they don't work on
Saturdays
or Sundays, though.
Oh, well, what?
We don't work on the weekends, but we might have to make an exception for the Dodgers.
Well, you know this, Marty. I mean, they don't play baseball on the weekends.
Wow. All right, that's too bad.
How's that for commitments?
Dash my reach around. Dash my best bet.
Your reach.
My reach around.
What?
What?
I gotta go.
Pause.
My best bet is that we're going to have lots of apoplectic baseball pundits, writers, talk show hosts this season about the extra inning rule, and I'm here for it. I am here for it. I love seeing this. I love seeing people complain about this. There's nothing you can do to change it. It's here to stay. The sport wants to make sure pace of play. Well, that's... So I'm absolutely here for it. Saw it in its yesterday. There were a handful of extra inning games. I'm not endorsing it. I don't have a strong feel about it one way or the other. I sort of agree with Marty. Maybe you can do it an inning later. Yeah, maybe you can go into the 11th. But I am here for it. Every time this happens, I'm very much looking forward to this. Never, ever, ever getting old from people who will complain about it when they see it, as soon as they see it, all throughout the 2021 season. And I'm all about it. All right, when we come back, we will get into the fusion. We got John and Rich in. First, though, TV listings, Lakers and Heat, 4:30 p.m. on TNT. Rematch of the NBA Finals, you might remember. Suns and Clips, 7 p.m. on TNT. So it is an L.A. and an L.A.
Doubleheader
on Turner. Old School, 7 p.m. on PAR. I don't even know what this channel is, P-A-R.
Like Paramount?
Oh, is it Paramount?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the streaming?
Sure.
Titanic, Stories from the Deep, 7 p.m. on Reels. Another channel I don't understand. Kiss the Girl, 7 p.m. on the movie channel.
Morgan Freeman, right? And Ashley
Judd.
Judd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm into her. Miss Congeniality, 8 p.m. on CMT.
Love Sandra Bullock.
What on Earth, 8 p.m. on Science. Examine the strange building on an island owned by Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
There's an uplifting show. La La Land, 9 p.m. on Momax. Do the Right Thing, classic, 10 p.m. on Flix West. Do the Right Thing, a Spike Lee joint.
Mm.
All right, crossover.
Supply.
Warning.
Roger, ignition engaged. The countdown is on.
3, 2, 1.
Come on.
It's time for The Fusion.
All righty. Got the loose cannons coming up at the top of the hour. Got the Masters as we're winding down day number one. We see, I believe, Jordan Spieth in the trees. Maybe that's Justin Rose. Who knows?
That was a nice out, whoever it was.
Well, I think we need to see where that ball stops. Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I'll have a look at it. That does look like Spieth.
Well, he and Justin Rose, you know, both skinny pants.
Yeah, skinny pants, Under Armour guys.
Cap armor, right? Really couldn't tell who's who from the back. Spieth.
Yeah, it's Spieth. I'm rooting for him, man. It would be cool to see him put it all together. I don't know where he's on the leaderboard, though. Does anybody know?
I think at the bottom of it.
Is he?
Like Rory? Sure.
How about Rory's day? Did you guys see Rory?
Yeah, wasn't he like hitting people? Yeah.
He hit his father.
That's not good.
What are the odds that you would hit your own father out there on a golf course?
Very low.
You're a pro golfer and you hit your own dad at the Masters. What a father-son bonding moment.
I mean, I guess if you golf with your kid or if you bring him to the course or you watch him golf enough, eventually you're going to get hit.
Spieth is plus one through 12, 7 strokes back.
That's actually okay. Yeah.
Four back. You can go on a run. He can. Yeah. Although this course, this course is tough.
Those greens are cooked. We were talking to Mark Ziegler. He's in Augusta covering the Masters this year. And he said yesterday, he was like, the greens are still brown. He said they cut them so low. He said, I think they're starving them of water because there was precipitation in the forecast that we may not get. He's like, so these may end up being like glass. And that was not too far from the truth. I don't know if you've seen a couple of these like really nice approach shots are just like rolling right off the back of the green.
This course is so easy.
Yeah.
Breaking 100 there, John?
I mean, 100. I'm pushing probably 60.
I think so?
I'm probably pushing 60.
Course record? Single round record?
Here's the thing. I know nothing about golf. I don't know how to play golf. I know that it's very challenging.
Can you swing a golf club?
I can swing a golf club. I can. I used to, take like
lessons. There's a range right around the corner.
I've
play?
Been there before. Yeah. That place
Me
is
versus
great.
You two for a pocky chip, the loser, whoever hits the ball worst.
I would love to see you swing a club.
I would sign up for that. Okay. With you two, I would sign up for that.
I would love to see you swing a club.
I could see Rich hitting it really far, but the ball going like backwards, like 400 yards to like the left.
Or he just swings so hard, the ball just turns to dust.
Yeah.
Big old Fred Flintstone.
Like Randy
swing.
Johnson killing the bird.
Oh my gosh. It's feast or famine. When I get a hold of one, it flies, but they're
straight.
Like if I can connect, boy, it is awesome. It is a sight to behold. But
you
then,
think you could do like 6 under today if everything was going well?
Probably 4 under, honestly, because you know my shoulder's a little sore.
Which shoulder? Maybe get a group rate around here.
Actually, both.
Group rate. Yeah.
We can book Stefania Bell. Maybe she can diagnose what's going on with you.
That'd be nice. Yeah, I heard her. Given the prognosis on things regarding our Padres star, not completely.
Unconvinced that he would be back at the end of the 10 days.
Yeah. I think she's a realist. You know what I mean? Which I think I am as well, which is it's going to be a big challenge to navigate this in 2021. You know, maybe he can stay quote unquote healthy, but will he be effective? Maybe he doesn't stay healthy. It's not the last we've heard of the shoulder in 2021. I'd be shocked if it's the last we heard of it.
Well, I think the last we'll hear of it is when he makes a decision like, okay, yeah, the instability in the joint and the potential further damage I could do, swinging a bat, diving into home, you know, grabbing a ground ball hit to my position, like those things that you have to do to perform in this league. If I think it's just an inevitability. Again, this is, you know, you had a shoulder operation.
I had
two of them. There comes a point where you say, yeah, this is untenable, and you get the work done, and we'll see if it happens this season. But that'll,
especially for an athlete, right?
Yeah.
You know, your average Joe out there, somebody like me, you might not have the surgery.
But here was what was interesting.
Actually, like my collarbone, I remember that too. The doctor's like, you don't need to.
It's not worth it, right?
Well, what was interesting, when I did it, I was like 18 or 19, I dislocated my shoulder. The guy's like, listen, you're 18. Like, if you want to be active during the course of your life, like, I would just do it. Like, if you're not going to be
if you're not ever going to play any sports, maybe not, but like you should probably do it. This is me, just some Joe Schmo. Like this guy does this for a living. He's doing all this complex work on the field. I mean, it just, like you said, Rich, it feels inevitable. They didn't say it was inevitable, but it feels inevitable that it's going to happen at some point.
I think. What do you guys think of David Sampson's theory that they're just spinning time here so that they can go make a trade for a shortstop?
I do think it's possible that they're shopping a shortstop because I think they were depending, and rightfully so, on Fernando Tatis Jr. being healthy this season. You know, you think about if you had this information a little while ago, like maybe he gets hurt in winter ball and leading into the season, you make some trades the same way they did because Lamet was on the shelf. They go out and they get Darvish and Snell. I think if Tatis, if there was already a significant injury or a situation with his shoulder, they may have dealt for somebody.
I got a name.
Who's that?
I know this might sound a little crazy.
Yeah, go ahead.
But you know, you also have to remember the circumstances here. This guy's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah, so it's a rental.
Corey Seager.
Hmm. That would be really interesting.
That would be really interesting.
You know?
Mackenzie Gore for Corey Seager.
Yeah,
who says no?
Yeah, I don't. I think it's tough to envision that.
Gore for Seager. Who says no?
What's that?
Who says no?
Who says no? Well, Schaefer says
wait,
no.
Wait, for Gore for Seager?
Gore for Seager. Gore right now, for Seager. No.
I mean, I will say this about Gore. I don't know how often I'm going to be saying no in the future on Gore. Like, as in, if he was non-tradable, untradable, whatever, untouchable at some point, how long can this guy be untouchable? The Phillies used to have a top prospect that was untouchable, Dominic Brown. Couple years later, he was out of baseball. I mean,
you are until you aren't.
Yeah, the Angels had one of those guys too.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Happens all the time. I hope it works out. I mean,
so who says no, Jim? Who says no?
Oh, I'm on board. Let's do it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, let's get on the phone.
Yes.
Let's start. Yeah. Crunch the numbers here.
All right, Jim. You got a joke? I already just told my best joke of the day.
Why don't dinosaurs make good pets?
Why doesn't a dinosaur make a good
You're
pet?
You're in a dinosaur mood lately. This is...
Go ahead. Did you watch Jurassic Park?
Because they're dead.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Makes sense.
You know what? That's A to B right there. Yep.